Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Conjunction Junction, what's your function? Hooking up words and making them function. All right, 3, 1, 2. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, new episode is posted. Hope you are clicking on and binging. If you are in a binging mood, don't forget, go to the landing page at WGNplus.com. In the entertainment section, there is a prompt that says Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. You click on there and you can find all previous 103 episodes, because this is episode 104. 104 episodes. Who would have expected that? Certainly not me. How is everyone doing out there? If you are a listener of any long time, I don't know even what I'm saying there. If you've been listening to me for a long time, how's that? Just say it, Jim. Either on the radio or here from the podcast for the last year or so, you know that I am not a handyman. I am not a DUI guy. No, I'm not a DUI guy at all. And I'm not a DIY guy. I'm not. You can look up my record. No DUIs there. No. I am not a DIY guy, for sure. Both of those. My phrase, as I've said many times, is when there is something that needs to be done around the house, call the man. I'm a DIY guy. Don't do it yourself. I have tried. Initially, when you get married, especially when you're on your own, you want to, exert your machismo, your masculinity. Oh yeah, I can fix that. I can do that. And so you sort of try to do it. You learn a little about it. You try to do it. And in my case, there are some things I can do fine. I can paint. I can put in a nail and things like that. But some of the bigger stuff, I have tried it at times. It doesn't work out well, and I wind up not only wasting my time, but wasting money, because I have to fix the damage that I did to the already damaged thing or thing that needs to be renovated. And then the guy who knows how to do it has to redo my stuff and then do it correct. So there came a point when I put my ego down. I bottled up my testosterone and put it on the shelf. And realize that it is just manly, is just as manly, just as macho, and just as strong to admit when you can't do something. And instead of trying beyond all measure, you just lay down your arms and call the man. And he does it, and he does it right. And you pay him, and he goes away, and whatever you needed done works, and life is good. As opposed to that project that never gets done, that you're always saying you'll do next weekend, or that thing that you fixed, sort of, that works good enough, but doesn't really work perfectly because you did it. I've been through that. I'm tired of it. And I've been through this rap before, but I've got an update. And I've got actually some interesting, an addendum to that, if you will. And as I said, if you listen many times, I remember last summer, in fact, I talked about this because I had a picnic bench, if you recall. If you're a long-time listener, you remember that I talked about my picnic bench, that all the varnish had peeled off, and there was mold on it over the winter for whatever reason. Moisture got in. I even called Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, to find out what the hell happened to my table. And he said, oh, it's not that hard. You sand it and you get this specific varnish and you get a power sander. And I was like, what the hell am I talking about? At the end of the day, I tried to do that, actually. I sanded it by hand, but the black part wasn't coming off. And I just was like, you know what? I went to Menards. I bought a half a gallon of paint. And I just painted it. It was five pieces of wood. The three that make up, it's a picnic table. The three that make up the table part and the two that make up the bench on each side. Put a nice coat of paint on it. It looked great and no problem. Because, yes, I could have called the guy, but it sounds like it would have been a bigger project. And I just didn't feel like spending a lot of money on that. So, as I've said, I've come to, without any hesitation, call the guy. Call the man. But I have to tell you, last weekend, wow, I was Mr. Fix-It. Elton Jim, Mr. Fix-It himself. I surprised myself. I even surprised my wife. She even made a little comment. And she's always been fine with me, you know, not puttering around. As I said, I'm not a putterer. My dad wasn't a putterer. I think my grandfather was a putterer, to be honest with you, but I don't think my dad took much interest in it. I think my grandfather was a putterer. I never met him. He died before I was born. But from the stories I heard, he actually was a putterer. But my dad didn't do that, so he didn't pass that on to me at all. And I was such not a putterer, I decided not to have a kid, just so I wouldn't have to pass on my non-puttering. How about that? No, that wasn't the reason why I didn't have any children. But anyway, so I, the weather in Chicago finally got better. Finally, it was close to normal. We had snow in April, and so May 1st on the calendar, I had planned to do this in mid-April, but the weather was not cooperating. So May 1st, I said, I don't care. It's May 1st. I am de-winterizing, and I am going to, I don't know what the word would be, but I'm going to summarize our home here. And so part of that was to take the cover off the picnic table and move it back into its spot where we could use it as, have dinner al fresco in the yard, or just to have the nice little picnic table out there displayed. And sure enough, once again, I pull the cover off, and some of the paint peeled off. I don't know if this wood is just not soaking things up. And there was, again, some of this dark mold. I don't know what it is. As I said, Lou Manfredini said maybe moisture gets in there and the cold weather, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I'm going to have to paint it again, put another coat on. Now, this time, at least, it wasn't going to be a big deal because I already had the coat on there. It was just match the color, get the roller, shouldn't take any problem. So went to my good old Menards and bought another half gallon of the same color, and which I thought, and we'll get into that too. So then I get up Saturday morning. The sun is out. It was a beautiful day. It wound up being in the mid-80s, not a cloud in the sky. I got up at like 7:30, loaded for bear, put my shabby paint clothes on, shabby little hat, and I went out to the yard, and amidst the morning sun, began to paint. And the first thing I've noticed was that, well, I thought this was the same color. It was not the same color, unfortunately. It wasn't that far, but it wasn't the same. So it wasn't just going to be a quick little touch-up. I would have to now paint the whole table again, because I couldn't just do maybe where the chips were, which I hoped I could do. It would need a full paint job. But I had enough paint and no big deal. And I was very impressed. I have to say, I even did it without a drop cloth. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't really spill or even droplet much paint. So that worked out fine. So now, that took me about an hour and a half. So now I'm in a great mood. I am feeling very DIY, okay? I'm very proud of myself, and now I'm looking around, and I'm saying, well, what else needs to be done? Because I am now in a mood. And I must have, and my excitement and exuberance of getting out and doing some fix-up stuff, you know, and breaking this kind of, you know, spring fever here and getting the house all summarized, getting ready, as it's been a long winter, must have spread to my wife, because then she came out and she said, well, you know, I bought this trellis for the back because she had this growing vine and this trellis was kind of old and falling apart. And she said, you know, I ordered this trellis and it, you know, came the other day, and maybe we can make the trellis and we could put it up. I'll cut the vines down and we can start a new set of vines on the new trellis. We might even move it to a different spot so it, you know, gets more light or whatever. And I said, okay, fine. So I go to the basement and there's this box. Of course, this trellis needs to be assembled. And so I open the box, and there's all the pieces of the metal, and of course the little baggie with you know, the screws and these little little pieces of rubber to secure the joints where the two pieces come together. And I needed a Phillips screwdriver. I had to do that myself. I had to go out and find my my Phillips screwdriver. But anyway, look at me. About 45 minutes later, I built a trellis. I built a trellis. I mean, I followed the directions. And there was only one screw and one little rubber joint cover left over, which I think were just extras, because there was no other place to put this extra. And don't you hate that? They should tell you, we gave you an extra screw, so you don't get paranoid. Because I was paranoid. I'm looking around, where did I not put a screw in? But I put all the screws in where they were supposed to go. So they gave me an extra one. Thank you for that. But in the directions, at least, let me know that you gave me an extra screw, so I'm not going crazy. So I built the trellis. And so my wife says, wow, look at that. I said, yeah, look at that. And she was, you know, clipping all the vines off of this old one, and we got it down to a manageable spot. And so listen to this. I went to the garage. I got a pitchfork and a shovel. Yeah, I know. It's me. I'm saying I'm doing this stuff. I can't believe I did all this. I got a pitchfork and a shovel from the garage. Usually, the pitchfork and the shovel are kind of decorative items in the garage. But now, they were getting some use. I used that damn pitchfork and I shoved it in the ground and I hoisted up the ground and we pulled out all the roots to this growing vine. And my wife said, well, let's put this thing over on the other side. So we took the vine out. We got rid of the other trellis that was kind of falling apart. And then I looked down the direction. They said, well, the best way to implant, you know, this new trellis in a secure way is they gave you this other kind of long rod, this pole that you literally pound into the ground to make the hole. So this way that you know, the trellis goes underground a good amount away, so it's secured in the ground so it doesn't blow away and everything. And so what you have to do then is you have to hit this rod into the ground and then get a tape measure and make sure that all of your holes are about the same depth so that it will be even. So we figured it was about a foot deep. And so I kept pounding. Yeah, by the way, I forget. I had to get to go to hammer. I've got a hammer. I went and got it. Usually, once again, it's hanging up on the garage on a nail. It looks cool there. Doesn't get a lot of use, but it got use this Saturday. Boom. I pounded that rod, the hole maker, as they called it, into the ground. We measured 12 inches. I first made the impression of where the four legs would be. You know, pushed down on it, made that impression, knocked in the hole maker in those four holes, measured 12 inches, stuck it in, fit perfect, covered it up. There's a trellis. An hour and a half to 2 hours before, that trellis did not exist in my yard. Now it's standing proud and hopefully will be the structure that will house a beautiful growing vine. So let's recap already, okay? 7:30, paint picnic bench. 9-ish, put up trellis. Create, well, manufacture, you know, put together trellis, and then dig up vines and put trellis in. About 11:30, quarter to 12. It seems like it's already a big day, but my wife, we're walking up the back stairs, and she says, whoa, look at this stair. What happened to this stair? It's loose. I'm like, whoa, and it really did. It was kind of two pieces of wood, and one of them was loose. So I'm looking at this, and here's what she said. She's still not impressed with what I did yet. She says, well, maybe we can call what's-his-name. And I'm like, well, I don't know if we need to call him for this. I can, so I'm surveying the stair, and I realize that if I just put a couple of screws or a couple of nails in a couple of key spots here, I can nail this back down. And it wouldn't be easy because the nail getting into the other piece of wood underneath the top of the stair there was not too wide, but I felt that I could eyeball it. And as long as I hit that nail straight down, I think we'd be all right. I already had my hammer from putting my trellis in. So I'm already warmed up in terms of hammering. I mean, my right arm is already in hammer mode. So, boom, I go and get in the garage. Yes, I have a box of nails. I have all the stuff. It all looks very impressive in the garage, I have to tell you. I just don't use it very often. But if someone else needs something, I will always have what they need. Oh, you need a shovel. You need a pitchfork. You need a hammer. You need some nails. I have all the stuff for the guy. But this day, I was using them. So I already had the hammer. So I said, wait a minute. So I go in there and I eyeball and boom, 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 and boom, 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 and boom, 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 and boom, boom, boom. And sure enough, that stair is as solid as a rock. And after I did that, my wife said, Elton Jamie, if you will, said, wow, look at you, Mr. Fix-It. Oh, my gosh. My chest came out a good 3 feet. My wife called me Mr. Fix-It. Wow. What an ego boost. So now I'm on fire. Mr. Fix-It, holy smokes. And as I said before, let's not, and then the topper of that, I had the paint that I painted last year, these stairs, because they were getting run down, and I bought this extra thicker kind of deck coating that's a thicker thing that takes a lot of abuse, and I still had some of that because, of course, as you know me, if you listen, I'm very anal about stuff that doesn't look just right, and so it bugged me that these new screws or these new nails were in the wood and that they were visible. They were not covered with the paint. So luckily, I still had some of that deck cover, this thicker kind of paint. It's almost it's like a mush, really. It's really, it's not even almost like paint. It's like sludge. But I had some. I'm not going to forget this. I'm not going to, once again, I don't like to procrastinate. I like when something's done, do it now, and it's done. So right away, I had put about six nails in there, went down into the shed in the basement. As I said, I have a lot of paint. I have all that stuff. Still kept it, brought some. And I covered each of the nails, the top of the nails, so that they wouldn't show. Then I realized, well, you know, now that the new stuff is going to look much, it's going to pop out because those stairs are a year old, and this is new paint. That's going to stick out. I'm not going to like that. So the newly ordained Mr. Fix-It realizes, well, let me just weather that new paint, if you will. So I waited until those little specks over each nail dried. Then I got some dirt, and I just rubbed the dirt over them, and it looks the same. You can't even see them. Thank you very much. So now, let's recap. Painted table, built and installed trellis, fixed stair. Now, please, let's not forget, this is all happening in one day. This isn't a summer's work. This is not a whole summer's filled of work. This is one morning, one day. I know. I'm shocked myself. I'm sure you're sitting down going, what got into you? I don't know. but it was like endorphins. It was like I was running a marathon. I couldn't stop. I was just looking around the house. What else needs fixing? I am Mr. Fix-It today. What can't I do? And sure enough, one of my favorite things, we watch a lot of these travel stations, and when they would show Brussels, they show a picture of the Brussels mascot in Brussels, Belgium, which is this little statue called, and this is the name, folks, so don't get crazed, it's called Mannequin Piss. And it's called that because it's one of those little babies. It's a fountain, little peepee boy. You know the little peepee boy, babe? Those little fountains where the water comes out? Little peepee boy. Well, in Brussels, Mannequin Piss has become the mascot of the city. Everybody goes there and sees him. They dress him up. He's naked, of course, holding his little thing there in the fountain as it's spraying everywhere like little babies will, especially little baby boys. But it's become so popular there that Mannequin Piss, they dress him up for different occasions on Halloween, for Christmas. He's the mascot of Brussels. And we always thought, oh, it would be cool to have a Mannequin Piss. Well, then we saw in one of these catalogs they send you with outdoor things that they sell a Mannequin Piss knockoff, for your yard. But it was always very expensive. I said, well, I love Mannequin Piss, but I'm not going to spend that much on a Mannequin Piss. Well, apparently, my wife went online and she found a Mannequin Piss that was like for a third of the normal price. And so she didn't even tell me. And all of a sudden, he showed up and she's like, how could I not get a Mannequin Piss for this price? So here's the Mannequin Piss statue that we're going to put in the yard somewhere. But it came like in a grayish resin for the outdoors. The real Mannequin Piss is made of bronze. So once again, I'm a stickler for detail. So I'm like, well, we have to paint the Mannequin Piss because he doesn't look like Mannequin Piss. He's got to look like Mannequin Piss. So went to the store, look at me, and bought, now they're calling me by my name at Menards. They know me that well, at least on this Saturday. So I bought some metallic-looking spray paint, and I sprayed Mannequin Piss, a bronze, and let him dry. So another check mark, spray-painted Mannequin Piss. This is all in one day, folks. So now that was it. It was about 1:30, 2 o'clock. I was done. I mean, this was a full day of DIY. But now I had DIY in my blood. And so that was Saturday. On Monday, I looked around, and on the door to a bathroom that we have just off the kitchen, it's just a small bathroom with a sink and a toilet, it was starting to chip. The paint on the door was starting to chip, and there was cracks, and the paint was actually lifting. You know how that looks? It started to really bug me for the last month or so. I don't know, once again, if there was a change in the weather that forced it. But I saw this, and it bugged me, and I said, well, now I am in DIY mode, so I don't care. I am repainting this door. So look at me. Went downstairs into the shed, an infamous shed I'm telling you about, and yes, I had spackle. I have spackle. I don't always use it. I sort of know how to use it. I've watched people use it. It doesn't seem that difficult. And so I said, I don't care. I still had some white paint from another thing that I did, something I painted a few months ago. And I said, I'm painting this door. So look at me. I spackle. I chip that paint off. I spackle that. I spackle these little cracks that were going on. Let the spackle dry, sanded it off, and painted the door. All in one day. Thank you very much. And if that wasn't enough, now this is what, 48 hours, 60 hours? I've painted a park bench, a picnic bench. I've assembled and installed a trellis. I dug up the vines. I fixed a loose stair and repainted it, and I painted a Mannequin Piss, and then I spackled and painted a kitchen door. That's from Saturday to Monday afternoon, and I wasn't done yet because Sunday, in between all this activity, I was in a play recently. We did some, we did a version of Young Frankenstein, the musical, the Mel Brooks play. And part of when the show ends is you have to strike the set. You have to help tear down the set. Okay, now this is major kind of DIY stuff because this is, you know, using electric screwdrivers to undo all the screwdrivers when they're building the set out of wood. And this was a very big set, a very involved show. So there's a lot of big pieces of set material as well as an extension of the stage, 65-foot stage, big stage, lots of big set pieces. So in other words, a lot of wood, which means a lot of screws that needed to be taken out. Well, once again, I've used an electric screwdriver and I've used power tools in the past, but I am a self-admitted power tool neophyte. I'll help carry stuff around and I'll help organize things, but you know, I'm not really good with the power tools. Well, a lot of theater people who went to school and have been in theater since college and stuff, I mean, that's part of the deal. You have to build and take down these sets. And so they're way into this. And they're, well, as soon as the show is over, an hour and a half later, there's screws flying, there's power drills zzzing. And I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm moving stuff. I'm helping. I'm, you know, as they're tearing these things apart, I'm moving. I'm taking the wood and I'm putting it into the piles. So, I mean, I'm helping, but man, you know. And then the thing is, I'm watching these young women with their power tools, and they are working the power drill like nobody's business. They're, you know, and sometimes, you know, the screws are hard to get out of the wood, and you have to, you know, put pressure down, and they're pressing down, and there comes that screw, and I'm like, and here I am, after they're doing all the hard work, then here I am, I'm coming and picking up, okay, is there any wood that I could put in the pile? I even told this one woman, I said, you know how emasculating it is to stand here and watch you do this and then just come by and pick it up. She said, well, I could teach you. She said, but would that even be more emasculating if a woman taught you how to do it? And I said, I don't know. It might be. I mean, my hands are like a baby's butt. Talk about mannequin piss. I mean, my hands are like a baby's butt. I don't have, there's not a callus within 20 miles of my hands. They are smooth and silky. I mean, you know, I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know if I have to turn in my man card or not, but wow. So, but I got soap. And then there's this another woman, you know, she was one of the leads in the play. And, you know, she wore these gowns and she's very glamorous looking. And there she is. I mean, you know, and it was actually like, wow, look at her. She looked great with a power tool in her hand too, let me tell you. So I felt a little emasculated. So I actually grabbed one of the power tools and started to pull out some of the drill and pull out some of those screws myself. And I didn't do a bad job. So from Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, between picnic tables, trellises, fixing stairs, painting mannequin pisses, and then, you know, painting and spackling my kitchen or my bathroom door, and then using a power tool, Elton Jim using a power tool on Sunday to strike the set. All I have to say is, for this one weekend, I don't know if this will ever happen again, but for this one weekend, I was the guy. And welcome back to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. And we now go to the Pop Culture Club with Emily Armonetti. Hello, Emily.
Hello, Jim.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. I don't know if you heard any of the tail end of that, but I'm feeling pretty masculine. Feeling...
I heard a little bit of it.
Yeah, feeling...
But I have to say, I was distracted by... I heard this recently when you were talking about... I think it's mannequin piece.
Yeah, I think it is mannequin.
I think that's how they pronounce it. So whenever I hear you say mannequin piss.
Well, it is mannequin piece, but I thought it would be funnier to say mannequin piss. I took a little creative license there. It is mannequin piece, but he's piecing. I mean, he's pissing. That's what it is.
I think that's how they pronounce it there, you know. But here you can say, that's the American.
Yeah, it's I Americanized it for effect.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's funnier just... And if you noticed, I think I said mannequin piss about 75 times, just because it was fun to say. But you know, the funny thing is...
I heard there was something... Did I hear something about caulking?
Yes, spackling. Like, spackling.
Spackle.
Right. I spackled and painted.
That's pretty serious.
I built a trellis. I fixed a loose stair. I painted a mannequin piss. Oh, and I used a power tool. All within like 72 hours. Yeah. I mean, holy smokes. Yeah. The testosterone that I had filled a bottle with and put on a shelf many years ago.
Yeah.
I took a bath in it. It was all over. It was wild. My wife even said, "Look at you, Mr. Fix-It." Wow. I never heard that.
I really, really need to get you to Austin, because not only do I need my closet clean, but I do have a lot of stuff around the house.
Well, I don't know what got into me.
Little projects, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm like I said, I usually, my motto is call the man, call the guy.
Right.
But I am not too bad at small, I could paint, and there's saw a few little things that I can do. I have tried bigger projects and they haven't worked out, and I've had to pay double to get the guy in and try to fix it. So I'm not afraid to realize my limitations, but for some reason, I just got on a roll on this Saturday and Sunday and Monday, and like I said, this may never happen again. This may have been like Halley's Comet. You know, this amount of fix it. You know, stuff, because like I said, my motto is not DIY, it's DDIY. Don't do it yourself.
Yes, call the guy.
Call the man.
Not DIY, it's call the guy.
Call the man. So, anyway, so that now, you know, have you ever seen Mannequin Piece? Have you been to Brussels?
Yes, I have.
Isn't he cool?
Yeah, but like, smaller than I was expecting.
Yes, much smaller.
I don't know what I was expecting.
Yeah, I mean, he is a baby, so how big can he be? I mean,
I know, but it's a statue. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything's in proportion, even his piece.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, that was the same thing. We would always see him on the travel shows, and I was like, we have to go to Brussels. We have to see the mannequin. And then we got there, it's like, okay, he's cool, but he's really small. But we have a mannequin piece now in our yard. We have a little replica.
But
I had to spray paint him bronze because it came like in this gray resin, and I'm like, well, that won't do. He needs to look.
Spray painted him.
Yeah, he needs to be bronze. So.
But he's not really bronze. You just spray painted.
Right. Well, but I'm not going to spray.
Oh my God. Now he's bronze.
He's bronze now. I bought a metallic paint. He looks bronze. Yeah. But now, have you ever been to Amsterdam? You've been to Amsterdam, right?
Oh, tons of times. Yeah. I used to work for.
Oh, did you? Yeah. The coolest thing, we went to Amsterdam last year, and the coolest thing was right on the main drag near the like the downtown by the waterfront. And I can't remember the name of the street. But there's a French fry stand called Mannequin Piece French Fries.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never been there.
It's the craziest thing. The line, it's like their version of Krispy Kreme. The line is down the street.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't remember what it's right off the down. It's like, you know where the main square is, like where the... And then
is it near the train station, like the central train station?
That's
kind of near. I spent a lot of time sort of in that area.
No, it's not. It's more by where the waterfront is, and then it's kind of a few blocks away, actually, is where the red light district is. There's a main drag, and then you go down this little street, and that's where the the red light district is. But anyway, next time you go there, ask somebody where the mannequin piss or piece, whatever, French fry. And it's the greatest thing because there's a little picture of mannequin right there. And it's a small little walk-up thing. You don't walk in. It's just a little walk-up thing, and they are just you know, shoveling fries. They give you this giant cone of fries.
Yeah, Belgian fries are really good.
Yeah, and then, of course, they're slathered with mayonnaise, which is fantastic.
Right, of course. That's how they do it. And, well, I mean, that's the weird thing, though. That Brussels is where you really want to be eating those. I mean, Amsterdam is really just going to be a knockoff.
Oh, I know. Right? I've had the Brussels fries with the mayo. Believe me,
real thing.
Yeah, but I'm just saying
they give it to you in the cone with the mayo.
Yeah, but for some reason in Amsterdam there is a mannequin piece, French fry place right there, and the lines are down the block, and they give you this humongous cone with all this mayo. Oh, fantastic! So. Anyway, yeah, so like I said, that was my my weekend a few weeks ago.
Busy weekend.
Yeah, yeah. It was very, very testosterone-filled, very masculine. As I said, I think, the only reason I don't know is because I've never seen one before on me. I may even be developing a slight callus on one of my fingers. But I don't know. I don't know if it's just a shadow. I have to look. Maybe I'm just in the wrong light. I've never seen a callus on my hands. As I said, my hands are as soft as mannequin pieces butt. I mean, I don't.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. I use Palmolive and you name it. But anyway, so in the pop culture club, what we want to talk about here actually is a little serious. But at the same time, I want to, you know, put a little perspective on it too. So we were talking about some possible topics, and Emily was saying that big news was this week. One of the more popular actors of the times right now is Donald Glover. He's in the show that he I think he's created is at Atlanta, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he create it?
Yeah,
and he stars in it.
Yeah, he did. And yeah, he writes it.
Yeah, and you may remember he was in Community. He had a funny role in Community too. The show with Chevy Chase and Joel McHale, and which I thought was a good show at the beginning. It sort of lost its. It's juju, but
yeah, it was a funny show.
Yeah, it was okay, but so Donald Glover certainly made himself into a household name with Atlanta, and now he's Lando.
He's like kind of an entertainment triple threat at this point. You know,
yeah,
he's a writer, he's an actor. He's going to be Lando Calrissian.
He's going to be Lando Calrissian in the new Han Solo movie that comes out, I believe, in the end of May. So I'm sure that's going to help, and I would assume if that's a hit, and I don't see how it can't be. You're going to see that Lando character come back again. I'm sure they're going to make more, Han Solo, pre-Harrison Ford Han Solo stories, just because it's a natural, that's what really that character is so popular, and then you're able to bring in some of the older characters, like Chewbacca and the robots and stuff like that. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot more of that. And it'll be interesting to see a little bit of how the Lando Calrissian Han Solo relationship developed, because you never really saw that. Lando just showed up one time as Billy Dee Williams in the originals.
Course.
But anyway, so Donald Glover. And then, of course,
legendary Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah. And then, of course, little did I know until you told me, we were talking about the Grammys several months ago, and this Childish Gambino is Donald Glover.
Yes, this is his Childish Gambino is like his musical alter ego.
Now, did he won a couple of Grammys, didn't he?
Yeah, he did win a Grammy.
Yeah, so I mean, he's already. I mean, between the music and the acting,
well, I think didn't he win an Emmy for? Do I remember correctly? Did he win an Emmy for Atlanta?
I think he may have.
I feel like he did.
I think the show did.
He's halfway to an EGOT.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and so speaking of EGOTs, which is the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar, and the Tony. That's EGOT. If you get all four of those, you are in rarefied air. There are several performers, not too many that have them, and now both of my heroes, Elton John and Bruce Springsteen, are only an Emmy away from EGOT territory. Because Bruce is getting a Tony Award, a special Tony, in June for his Broadway show. Elton already has a Tony. He's already got an Oscar, and he's already got a Grammy, as does Bruce. So they both have to find a way to get an Emmy Award and get into the...
My money is going to be on Donald Glover, because there, I think that there's way bigger chance that he will win a Tony and an Oscar in his career, especially the way his career is headed right now.
Oh, yeah, but my point, but he's an actor. Those guys are primarily musicians.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So, exactly. Yeah.
So he's already got the Grammy.
Yeah.
For him as an actor, that maybe would have been the hardest one to get.
Yeah, no, he's certainly on that path.
So
now, Childish Gambino, which when I was watching the Emmys, I had no idea what a Childish Gambino was.
Well, you know where he got his name?
No.
So he got his name from,
from a mature Gambino?
There's a band called the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, I know who they are. Yeah, what am I, an idiot?
All this weird stuff comes up on the internet, you know, and like on social media, and I think on Facebook, this definitely circulated on Facebook, I'm sure other social media platforms, but there was this thing called a Wu-Tang name generator, and you type your name in, and then it tells you what like your Wu-Tang name would be.
Oh, brother.
So that's how he got his.
Oh. So he just put that in.
Anyone can put their name. I can put your name in right now and get it.
And here. Get it. I would have my own Wu-Tang name.
Toronto or James Toronto?
I would put James.
James.
I'm going to get my own Wu-Tang name. Look at it. This is, you're doing this right now?
Your Wu-Tang, Your Wu-Tang name is Unlucky Wanderer.
Oh, jeez. Talk about nail right on the head.
Oh, wait, hold on. But let me see what happens if we do Jim.
Yeah, put Jim, because I don't really go by James. Unlucky Wanderer. Okay. That is perfect.
All right. Better off being Jim. So your Wu-Tang name for Jim Toronto is Smiling Contender.
Smiling Contender. Now, that one I like.
That's way better than Unlucky Wanderer.
Yeah, no, Smiling or Smiling?
Smiling.
Oh, I'm using that. Oh, yeah. I might have to change the name of the podcast.
Do you know what? You maybe need a musical alter ego.
Yeah. I might go with Smiling Contender. I like that.
Yeah, it's a good one. So, yeah.
What's yours? Put yours in.
Okay.
Put yours in.
Okay. Mine is Smiling Prophet.
What? Really? You're smiling too?
Smiling? Yeah, I know. That's weird.
Isn't that weird? You're a prophet?
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad because you do predict things.
I'm smiling.
But we're both smiling. We could form a band.
Yeah.
Smiling Contender and Prophet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smiling.
So, but yeah.
Are you smiling too? You're with an I-N?
Yes. Yes. Smiling. No G.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's definitely an interesting name, but at least there is some rhyme or reason to how he got it.
Yeah.
Right?
Because I was wondering, Childish Gambino? Because, you know, one of the New York... you know, mob families back in the, you know, in the 40s and 50s was the Gambino family.
Right, of course.
Yeah, so I thought there was some kind of connection to that. I didn't know he just used an app.
Right. But now, I mean, it is kind of a silly name, but what he is doing right now, I think, is really groundbreaking. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
so he's generated a ton of buzz.
Yeah, so explain. So Emily says, I was throwing some topics around, and Emily said, well, here's something that's really interesting. I don't know if you've heard about it yet, because you're old, but...
Because you don't even know what a Childish Gambino is.
Yeah, I don't even know what a Childish Gambino is, but you may know this. So she says, check this out. So tell me what it is, or what's going on.
Oh, he hosted Saturday Night Live on Saturday night. He was the musical guest and the host. But during the show, he debuted a new song called This Is America. But what is really creating a ton of buzz is that then on Monday, he released the video for, it was either Sunday or Monday, I can't remember which, but he released the video for This Is America, and it is pretty remarkable and powerful. and
why?
Shocking.
Why?
But yet also very hard to decide. Well, have you watched it yet?
Yeah, so I saw it. So it starts, it's kind of like a hip-hop dance song, so, but then there is...
It's very up-tempo.
Yeah.
Very up-tempo, yeah. But, so essentially, I mean, I'll try to describe it because I think you probably will admit, like, it's very hard to describe. You kind of have to see it. But it was basically shot, it was shot in a warehouse, and the camera follows him throughout the warehouse as he sings and dances, sometimes accompanied by a group of children that look like they're wearing school uniforms. But it's really what's going on in the background that matters. I mean, there are some things that he does that are pretty shocking, but, like, in the first minute of the video, he is really just dancing and singing, and you don't even realize, I have to admit, the first time I watched it, up to that point, I didn't even realize the stuff that's going on, but there's, like, all this rioting and burning cars and gun violence and police brutality, and it's all going on in the background. But because the song is so up-tempo and the video is highly choreographed, I mean, it's very genius the way they shot this. You know, so it's highly choreographed by design. You know, I read that there are at least 10 different, like, popular dances that they kind of incorporated into this. But it really creates this effective distraction. And I think, you know, again, you really have to watch it to fully appreciate
Yeah,
it.
I mean,
he's tackling a number of issues here that we're facing as a country today. I mean, racism, gun violence, police brutality. But honestly, I think the most poignant message of all, and these are all really critical issues, is how easily distracted we all are from the stuff that's happening today.
Yeah, we are desensitized, you know? And that's, I think that's one of the messages, is that we are, even though there's all these horrible things going on a daily basis, and there's gun violence, there's gang violence that's portrayed here, there's police violence, you know, it's not all just, you know, anti-establishment. There's also some sense of, hey, you know, this, you know, both sides are wrong here, and both sides are not acting right. So it's very well balanced there, but there's certainly a message of both the violence that is happening, as well as the violence that we are, to your point, that we are somehow not even paying attention to, that we've gotten desensitized to. And so it's a very powerful,
but also distracted, because I mean, there's a lot of other stuff happening.
Yeah, we're just taking, like, things for granted. It's not,
you know, a mass shooting happens, and then suddenly, you know, the debate begins. Let's say between, like, you know, for example, the school children in Florida, and then some of the local politicians who then start saying things that are so outrageous. Then we start talking about that and getting upset about that, and suddenly now we've totally taken our eye off the ball.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's the other thing too. It's just it's desensitized, but it's also distraction.
Yeah. No, it's very.
But, I mean, it's you know, this again. I think this was shot like it in such a genius way. It was directed by Kieran Rai, who has directed many episodes of Atlanta. So, you know, I think he's obviously a close collaborator of Donald Glover, and you know, I mean, it's hard to watch. It's graphic, but it's holding a mirror up to our society, and you know, you kind of watch it and you say, well, actually, that's kind of what artistry is all about, right?
Yeah.
You know, any you know, it may be hard to watch, but yeah, anyone who has a hard time watching it should also probably find it really hard to stomach some of the things that are happening in our country today. And I think this is just such a work of art, but it's amazing the buzz and the analysis that has been going on. And, you know, I think even the way they released this, I mean, I think I read that as of today, it's had 50 million views since it was posted on YouTube. It's been like the most watched.
Well, I think the best thing to do is just tell people to go watch it. It's called This Is America. Look it up on YouTube.
Sure.
And it's by Donald Glover or Childish Gambino. And make up your own mind. But it is something noteworthy to talk about and to bring attention to. So, Emily Armonetti, thank you so much for coming on. You are a smiling prophet. And
you are either a smiling contender or an unlucky one.
That's true.
We'll have to. The jury's still out on that.
All right. And we will talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay, thanks,
man. All right. And that is episode 104 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. Hope you had a good time. I certainly did. This is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.